Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q2 FY17 results conference call of Tata Coffee, hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anand Mor from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning, everybody. Pleasure to welcome you all to the Q2 FY17 post-results conference call of Tata Coffee Limited. We have with us management from the Tata Coffee, represented by Mr. Sanjeev Sarin, MD and CEO, and Mr. K. Venkataraman, ED and CFO. Over to you, sirs, for the opening remark, and then followed by the question and answer sessions.
Thanks, Anand. Good morning, everyone. This is Sanjeev Sarin here, MD and CEO, Tata Coffee. Let me start by wishing everyone a very happy and auspicious festive season. I think the quarter itself is a good start to the festive season. At Tata Coffee, we continue our endeavors to focus on premiumization, disintermediation, customer centricity, and sustainable practices to drive profitable growth amidst volatile commodity prices. For the quarter ending September 2016, it has seen a strong performance. Tata Coffee's standalone revenue has remained steady as compared to the same period last year. Turnover has been constant owing to a shift in product mix in our instant coffee portfolio. However, profitability is higher at 32 crores versus last year's same quarter at 10 crores. My colleague, Venkat, will share the details. In summary, this is a result of a positive shift in coffee terminals, especially in Robusta, direct roaster engagement, and product development to cater to changing market conditions. We are seeing a shift in soluble coffee demand in Africa, which has enabled us to develop specific competitive products. On a consolidated basis for the quarter ending September 2016, profit after taxes increased by 54%, while turnover declined by 7% as compared to the same period last year. There are many views around the global coffee crop. A less than expected Brazilian and Vietnam Robusta crop has led to upward price movements, especially in Robusta. The New York Ice Arabica terminals increased from $1.40 per pound in July, beginning to £1.51 in October beginning, whereas the London Robusta terminals moved from $1,688 per metric ton in July to $2,004 per metric ton in October beginning. You will see a significant swing upwards in Robusta compared to the Arabica. Agile management of market conditions through supply chain, focus on quality, and direct roaster relationships has helped our green bean portfolio. Our direct sales to roasters has almost doubled over the same quarter last year. There is an increasing number of roasters visiting our estates and getting a first-hand experience of our cultivation and sustainability efforts. I'm proud to say that our supply chain teams manage our raw material inventory very effectively to temper the impact of buoyant terminals on the soluble business. Our soluble coffee has posted healthy volumes in all the geographies, driven by product development and strong customer relationships. We have added new customers to our fold. Our geographical spread has increased. A strong volume performance has enabled us to reduce inventory and thereby reduce working capital usage in the business. Many of you had asked us last time about manufacturing capacity. We have adopted unique processes to successfully achieve a debottlenecking in our FDC plant, enabling us to improve FDC volume. We have also expanded our monsooning capacity for green coffee. Eight O'Clock turnover was lower by 14%, while profit after tax was higher by 68% for the quarter ending September over the same period last year. Realizations have dropped across the industry due to aggressive promotions. Eight O'Clock volume was affected by lower sales post an aggressive performance in quarter one. On a cumulative basis, Eight O'Clock volume is 5% ahead of last year and the market shares are stable. Profit has been higher on account of lower green cost. While our performance has been strong for a second quarter in a row, we must realize that the markets continue to be volatile. The monsoons have been seeing erratic rainfall this year. The Coffee Board and the Karnataka Planters Association, as many of you may have read, have forecast 8 to 12% crop losses. It is premature for us to estimate impact because of our substantial irrigation capacities. Also, agri crops have biennial cyclical patterns. Continuing to manage such volatilities would be a major focus area for us in the future. I'm going to hand this over to my colleague Venkat to take you through financials.
Hi, good morning, everybody. I will summarize the results for the benefit of everybody. I'll first start with the standalone. The turnover has been flat, as Sanjeev explained, due to the ICD mix, though the volumes have been higher. Substantially higher profitability on instant coffee by around 80% due to higher volumes, commodity and other cost management, and as well as efficiencies. Higher profits in black coffee plantations driven by better margins. Lower losses in tea during the quarter compared to the corresponding quarter of the previous year. There has been some higher corporate overheads due to some one-time projects, which we hope to get to phase it out in the coming quarters. And profit from operations wealth has been substantially higher at 24 crores for the quarter compared to 13 for the previous year. The other income is also higher. We had some surplus cash generated in the operations, earning, as well as we received a dividend of around 2.5 million from 8 o'clock coffee. Finance costs have been lower. Tax rates have been lower because we had last year we got the exemption from the Karnataka Agricultural Income Tax, which was abolished. EPS is higher, driven by higher performance. And H1 PAT is also substantially higher, as both Q1 and the Q2 results have been very good. As regards consolidated, Sanjeev has explained the 8 o'clock performance, and the 8 o'clock has reported superior performance, though the turnover has been lower during the quarter, but better management of the green costs and overheads. And group turnover is lower, but profit substantially higher. Group profit post-minority interest is at 30 crores compared to 19 in the previous year. With this, I hand over for questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to only use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Sudhanshran Padmavatan from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for taking my question and congratulations on good set of numbers. So what I would like to understand is, if I'm actually looking at your business into two parts, the plantation and the value-added products, I mean, on the plantation side, I think, you know, even a lot of media talks about, you know, the coffee prices moving up. And therefore, you know, there would have been some kind of a benefit that you must have seen in terms of the price, you know, coffee prices moving up. On the value-added, you know, product segment, both, you know, the 8 o'clock coffee as well as we have some in the standalone side, what I would like to understand is the jump that we see in the EBITDA margins and also the gross margins. How much of it is primarily because of the mix and how much of it is because of the low-cost inventory? Because I'm sure that we would also benefit to some extent from the low-cost inventory. And sir, one more question if I can ask. On the 8 o'clock business, specifically on the volume side, I mean, we have been working with a lot of, you know, projects and we have been talking about, you know, a lot of people visiting us and being on the negotiation side, especially the K-cup serves, etc. I mean, 5% volume seems to be a bit lesser compared to the kind of initiatives that we have been taking over a period of time. Can you give us some, you know, a light and some kind of a roadmap over the next couple of years as to how do we see this kind of business gaining traction, both volumes and profitability?
Thanks. And just repeat the first question.
So the first question is, you know, if you can throw some light on, you know, the plantation side of the business, which has gained from better, you know, pricing of Robusta and, you know, the coffee bean. And how much of the benefit is primarily because of, you know, the coffee bean prices moving up, and how much of it is because of, you know, the inventory gains and the product mix?
You're talking about the... Yeah, so let me address your first question. Yes, you're right. It is a mix of both the areas. There have been some cost reductions comparative to where the market is because of lower comparative cost of inventory which we were holding. But however, that has meant a very deft management of the supply chain, when to buy, what to buy, and keep the cost under control. That's been a significant part of managing this end. Along with that, we've been talking all along about the fact that we are going to, we are expanding our reach to customers, and that itself is helping us get better, better product mixes going. I mentioned specifically of developing new products, because of what we are seeing in certain geographies like Africa, which is helping us in our margin structure. So all of these have really helped us build a better performance. And the biggest one is our volumes have been significantly higher than last year. So all these three things are really playing for this performance. On the second part about 8 o'clock volume, 5% not being good enough, I also mentioned, if you recall, the shares are holding. There's a no movement. It's flat, which is very significant in a competitive environment like in the U.S. So 8 o'clock has done a good job holding its shares and getting this 5% volume gain.
Yeah, sure. Sir, with respect to the low-cost inventory, would we continue to see the benefit, or largely the benefit is done in the first half?
You're asking for a question which is very, 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 very forward.
See, Suresh, I think you have to understand like this. The point is, yes, all of us, you know, even 8 o'clock for that matter, roasters carry longer inventories, and we also try to take advantage of our own views on the market in the sense of carrying a little higher inventory than required.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, you have the instant coffee business is also akin to a some kind of an FMCG consumer business, where if there is movement in the prices, you are able to also look up at the prices and then pass it on. So you have to look at it in that sense. So I don't want to focus too much on the commodity cost benefit itself, because that's a function which we have to do, because we'll have to take a view on the market and in that sense carry higher inventories where required depending on the movement, and which we obviously continue to gain at varying points of time.
Sure, sir. Sir, with respect to the outlook of 8 o'clock coffee, I mean, do we see further market share gains given the fact that we are in talks with several, you know, players in the market to, you know, boost this business?
Not something I can answer right now. All I can say is all of us in the management want companies to perform better and better. And let's see, we can't predict what the competition is going to do. We can't predict the environment. We can do what we can do best, which is under our controls.
8 o'clock has also recently launched the, you know, infusion range and the Brazilian breakfast. So these kinds of product innovations will also be driving up the, you know, volumes in that sense and share gains.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, in short, I think we will be more looking at, more of an FMCG trying to build brands as we move forward to, you know, get better realization and better stickiness with the customers.
See, you'll be clear, we are a B2B player largely, and 8 o'clock is a branded player.
Mm-hmm.
Each one will do what they're best geared for.
Sure, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Sameer Madan from Tieto. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to understand that over the last several years, if we look at the standalone business of Tata Coffee, we know that the amount of land that we have under the coffee crop is kind of constant, and that's not likely to improve. However, if we look at how many kgs of coffee does 1 acre yield for us in India, in Coorg, for example, that's substantially below 1 ton per hectare, whereas if we look at comparable numbers from, say, a country like Vietnam, which is a huge robusta producer and exporter, their numbers are significantly higher, if I'm not wrong, more than twice the yield. So my question is, Tata Coffee being a part of Tata Group will obviously have access to excellent quality sister companies which will be having high-end capabilities in research, etc. What are our plans to be improving the yield, which can obviously be a significant source of top-line growth for us over the years?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, Sameer. Thanks for that. Yeah, you're right. In fact, if you go to Latin America, you'll find significantly higher productivity numbers coming out over there. The fact is that a lot of effort goes into, it's a mix of what is the crop, what is the base crop which you're using or the base seed which you're using, what are the climatic conditions which you have over here, how much is mechanized, not mechanized. So all these things play a lot of role in what are the yields which are getting generated. Obviously, we are always on the lookout for more and more information, networking, and things like that, and trying to see what we can do to improve our productivity in our own fields. You're right. The best way to earn more from fixed land is to produce, is to get more. But simultaneously, you must remember, while one way is to get more product, other way is to improve realizations from what you have, and where we have been focusing significantly through direct roaster relationships, getting into premiumization of quality, which we have. So we have both these elements which we are working on.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Sharad Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, and sir, congratulations on a good performance.
Thank you. Thanks, sir.
I would like to ask you that Starbucks will take a stake in the company at a later stage because they have evinced keen interest in Nellore Estate and all that, and you are a preferred supplier to Starbucks. So Starbucks will take a stake in this company at a later stage?
Sir, I have no idea about the question which you're asking, whether they are interested or not interested in that. We are very clear that we have to produce good quality coffee, and you're right, we're exceedingly happy that one of our micro lots has met the international quality standards which Starbucks has for its reserve range, which I think is an outstanding performance, which reflects on our quality and ability to produce that high-end quality of products.
Yeah, I'm sure of it that you will not be able to comment on it, but it is a distinct possibility, right?
So that we don't want to comment on that. Because we know we have a strong relationship with them, but we are not able to comment on their plans.
Yes, sir, my focus has to be to build that relationship and get the best product for both the businesses.
Yeah, and sir, are we planning to acquire various other assets to increase our capacity and turnover?
We are hungry for growth. Okay, how it comes is something which we have to really farm out and clear and make happen in the future. Yeah, so like I mentioned briefly, we have done a little bit of debottlenecking of our FDC plant already. Though it's a small amount, it is done. It's actually very innovative what work has happened to get that debottlenecking done. We have expanded our monsooning capacity of our green beans. So we are making these kind of efforts. And like I mentioned to the previous person, Sameer, we are looking at ways to premiumize our products and therefore get better realizations for what we have right now.
And sir, on paper front, are we going to increase our production by many folds in years to come?
I would love to say we want to grow all ends of our business, Sharad. And pepper is a strong performer. It is an important crop for us. And therefore, we will certainly see how we can grow that business also.
No, but are you looking to do it in a big way or just a small way?
Sharad, I'm afraid I cannot say what is small for me might be big for you or what is big for me may be small for you. All I can say is we will certainly focus on all ends of our business to drive growth.
Okay. And sir, lastly, 8 o'clock coffee.
Yeah.
I understand that a lot of efforts are being made for it to be listed on the U.S. stock exchanges along with Tetley. Is it true?
No idea, Sharad. No, we have no such plans. We have no such plans.
You don't have any plans?
No, we don't have.
I'm not talking of the next one. Saying in.
No, no, we don't have. We don't have any such plans of listing 8 o'clock, etc.
Mr. Shah, sorry to interrupt. Requesting you to please return to the question queue for your follow-up question.
Yeah.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Kinjal Desai from Reliance Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, hi. Sir, I just need to understand 3 points.
Can you be a little louder, please?
Yeah, am I audible?
Can you be a little louder, Kinjal?
Am I audible now?
Yeah.
I just need to understand 3 points, sir. First is, we have already given that, you know, Vietnam and Brazil crops volumes are lower than expected. Is there any such outlook that we have for the Indian crops overall?
Yeah, so like I mentioned, that the Coffee Board and the Karnataka Planters Association, in their estimates have said 8 to 10% drop is what they see. But like I mentioned, it is very early stages for us to even look at that because we have a lot of irrigation capacities and all that. So we have to wait and watch and see what comes of it.
Okay. Second thing, on just the standalone results, while we have a flat top line this quarter, and we have mentioned that instant coffee has done very good volumes. So am I to infer from that the plantation business volumes have declined by any chance?
No, you have to understand, the impact of this is largely coming from the ICD soluble business because the mix has changed a little bit. Like I mentioned, the African market, we are seeing a shift in the kind of products they want, which is what we have done a lot of product development efforts to improve profitability and get what the customer over there is looking for.
Sir, what I'm trying to understand is just on the volume front directionally, Is there that we have done flat volumes this time? Because from my understanding, if green coffee sales have gone are doing well, which would mean that the value growth is good in it.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
So if our top line growth is flat,
yes,
it would imply that the volumes, while I was selling at a premium at a higher price, but the volumes are a little lower.
No. So therefore.
No, Kinjal, you are right. See, we have to understand also that coffee plantation is a seasonal industry, no?
Okay.
So obviously, you know, the volumes would be, in fact, this quarter, the volumes will be lower than in respect of, say, Robusta crop what we have sold. So that is bound to happen because it's a seasonal nature of the production. Whereas instant coffee is more like, you know, we have maximized capacities, we are trying to improve volumes, whatever we can. So that's the way it goes.
Sure.
While you said that, remember the bigger driver is our soluble business, which is contributing to this.
Okay. And so just on the balance sheet front, we have given our the consolidated inventory for this quarter, for half year is 283 crores. And if I see the March balance sheet, it is 289 crores. So the inventory is flattish. So if you could just give me an idea as to, is it because that we have exhausted our inventory now, the low-cost inventory, so to speak, and now we have high-cost inventory on books?
No, it's not like that. So what happens is, you know, you have to correlate to the volumes of what we sell also, no?
Correct.
The volumes have been higher. So obviously, you know, so that's the kind of movement which we are seeing.
Okay, all right. So the volumes have been higher for us and hence there is a slight decline.
You also mentioned that because of our volume performance, we released working capital by reduction in inventories.
Okay, so that has also impacted the fact that our inventory is low. So now we have to hold lower inventory per se.
Yeah, and these are very conscious decisions we are taking.
Okay, fine. All right, sure. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thanks,
Thank you.
We take the next question from the line of Aman Vij from Astute Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Just a couple of questions. First question on the what is your current utilization level in the instant coffee out of the 8400 metric ton which you have?
So capacity is fully maxed out, Amanjit. So we are selling to very, very close to 95-98% capacity.
Okay, so any plan of addition to that, and what will be the approximate capex for that?
Which is what we mentioned, we've currently debottlenecked.
Yeah, so what we are trying to do is we are trying to build in, to see whatever efficiencies in the existing plant. So that's what Sanjeev meant by debottlenecking. We are trying to, so the best option is to sweat whatever existing assets we have. So that's what we are trying to do through some, where the capex is not anything substantial, so which we are trying to bottleneck and grow the volumes. So that's the first level of action which we have taken.
Okay, and what is your field trial capacity as of today?
I didn't understand, I couldn't hear properly, Avanjit.
I was asking about your freeze-dry instant coffee capacity. Freeze-dry only.
Freeze-dry is around 2,000 tons.
Okay. And so this utilization level has been this high for last year also, if I am not wrong. You did some debottlenecking also last year, right?
No, last year I don't think in a large sense we did. But obviously, if you see the last several few quarters performances, maxed out on capacities. So that's the way. So obviously, it has been much more consistent in the last few quarters.
Okay. And second question, you were mentioning about some shift in the African market. So could you throw some more light on that?
So we are experiencing a trend where customers are looking for more competitively priced products. Okay, and therefore that is what I was talking about, a shift in the mix. And therefore it's been incumbent upon us to produce products which meet that requirement yet do it profitably.
Okay. And so what is the current market size of the African market? Coffee consumption?
I won't have the exact numbers on hand right now, Aman, but can be looked at.
We can get back to you on
that. Okay. And last is basically on the coffee consumption pattern. So if I'm not wrong, Russia is one of the strongest markets for us. So could you throw some highlight, not for this year perspective, but for 3 years, 5 years down the line, which segment is the fastest growing, and a rough number of the current market size of the different geographies?
I can give you a broad overall global picture. Clearly, demand is outstripping supply at the moment in terms of coffee. What is interesting really is that the Eastern Hemisphere is increasing faster in terms of coffee consumption, forecasted at about 5-6% over the next couple of years. The Western is more on the roasting ground fresh coffee, and that's a slightly slower growth. But overall, demand is forecast to be higher than supply as of now.
Okay, that would be from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Jayant Mamania from Care PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Congratulations for a good set of numbers from value-added coffee.
Thank you.
Yeah. So to what extent our 8 o'clock sales was affected due to trade promotions and the recently launched that infusions line?
Just repeat the question.
To what extent our 8 o'clock sales was affected due to trade promotions and the launch of new infusion line?
No. So understand a couple of things. One is quarter one of 8 o'clock was a very strong performance because of a strong promotion 8 o'clock man, which we spoke about last time. So there's a bit of an overhang of that, and competitors have responded aggressively also this quarter. So that is what is really driving why you're seeing the volumes of it down for 8 o'clock in this quarter. Which is why I mentioned if you look at half one together, the volumes are still 5% ahead of last year and maintaining the share.
Okay. Sir, how is the response for Tata Coffee Grand recently launched in the domestic market?
Yeah, so 8 o'clock coffee Grand is getting very positive.
Tata Coffee Grand.
Sorry. My Tata Coffee Grand is got a very strong positive customer consumer feedback which are coming in. Promotions have been run, volumes are picking up, and therefore we are seeing it as a very positive move in the coffee category right now.
Yeah. Can you share figures of in quantitative terms for this Tata Coffee Grand for the quarter?
I think that is more important to get it to Tata Global. I can tell you market shares which have indicated are 1% plus right now, which is a great performance, up from our 0.6 or 0.7 a couple of months back. So it's actually getting a very positive movement.
Okay. So can you tell share a figure from a sales generative from supply to Starbucks?
I'm not too sure we should be giving independent figures of each. We need to understand that the business is doing well. It's meeting our action standards, and the growth is there in the business. As the stores keep expanding and each store sales are moving up, the business is moving in the positive direction.
Yeah. Actually, from 4% increase in instant coffee and evaluated coffee sales, we have generated 80% more profit. So, will that trend continue?
We can all pray, but who knows? No. Listen, I told you the couple of things which have impacted. There's been green coffee cost, and there's been a lot of effort in customer management. There's been a lot of effort in trying to get higher end of the business working. And like I mentioned, the volumes have been significantly higher than in the past. So a lot of effort is happening on both the ends. So let us see where it takes us.
Okay. Thanks a lot. That's all from my side, yeah.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Aditya Shah from Pikram Advisory Services. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Congratulations on the good set of results. Most of my questions have been answered, but one question I just wanted to understand is that why is there an increase in non-controlling interest, let's say in quarter on quarter or even last 6 months as compared to the previous 6 months of the last year? What could be the reason for that?
No, that will depend on the profitability, no? So quarter on quarter. There is no change in the shareholding or anything.
So let's say net profit, as a percentage of the net profit I'm asking, let's say, this year 6 months is 3300 is non-controlling interest, and if you divide it by 10875, which is the net profit, we get a figure of non-controlling interest being 30.3%, whereas compare it with last year 6 months, 1463 by 5479, it gives us 26.7. so even the percentage is changing. I'm not asking in the figures, as a percentage it changes. Why?
No, I'm not able to understand this, because it's largely the movement in the profitability. So maybe we will just relook at that and get back to you.
Generally, sir, in most of the companies, the percentage remains the same. The figures change, obviously, because of the profitability. But if there is a change in percentage, it means there is a change in shareholding.
Generally. No, that's what I'm saying. There's no change in shareholding. So it's only result of profitability. So we can get back. We'll just look at it and get back to you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Rohit Lal, an individual investor. Please go ahead. So the line from Mr. Rohit is disconnected. Should we move on to the other question? We take the next question from the line of Shubhankar Roja from SKS Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just a quick question on the FDR limits or FIR limits that the company has. I believe being in the plantation sector, you're restricted in terms of a certain. Could you just throw some light on that and what if the company has any plans of, you know, potentially demerging the plantation business from the retail business?
No, we don't have any such plans. We don't have any such plans of demerger or anything. Regarding FDI, the recent government press release sometime in November 15 had made FDI in coffee plantations to be 100%. However, that is something which the investor in terms of FII should have to clarify from their authorized dealers.
Okay. So currently, as far as you're concerned, you're not aware of any restrictions that FIIs have on buying your stock?
No, it is completely policy bound. We have got we don't have anything to comment in that matter.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Sharad Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, on this minority interest,
yeah,
it is directly related to the profits of 8 cups of coffee. If the profits are more,
yes,
the minority interest
right.
will be more.
You are right, sir. That's what we explained, but he was not, sort of convinced, so we will get back to it.
And, sir, one last question. By 2020, where do you see your company in terms of volume and profit? Everybody says 2020. You should also tell us.
Sharad, I cannot put a number and a stake in the ground on what turnover is going to look like or what the profit is look like. All I can
definitely it will be much more, right?
As a company, we are looking at growth, and I keep repeating that. And we are working towards that.
No, but sir, there are many companies which are talking of 2030 also. So what's wrong if you talk about 2020?
I can talk about 2020 without numbers.
Okay, sir. No more.
Mr. Shah, are you done with your question?
Yeah, I'm done.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. Next question from the line of Avinash Nahata from Aditya Birla Money. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. What is the export contribution in our standalone business and how it has behaved over the last 2 years? Thank you.
No, standalone business is more or less it will be around 70-75% of it will be export dependent. And that has more or less remained in the same because our local, in terms of local sales is very much except for not very substantial except for the deemed sales. And now recently when, of course, Tata Coffee Grand is there, but that is, smaller volumes which is picking up.
So you said 75% would be export sales.
Yeah, around 65 to be around 70% would be export. See, what is domestically sold is majorly the tea, which is tea portfolio, which is sold in the domestic auctions.
Correct.
Other than that, coffee is whatever we sell is more of deemed export sales, as well as some local sales to see things like Tata Coffee Grand and all that. But substantially, it is exports.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Chetan Chalera from Pragya Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations on good set of numbers, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just, in the valuation point of view, I just wanted to understand two things. Like, we have other listed player in the market who is merely a converter, and we have a lot of assets, plantation and everything. So, can I have the analysis of profit and loss in plantation and other things like manufacturing and selling? So I wanted to understand whether plantation is a profit-making business or just merely assets?
No, actually, if you look at our segment results, it is given, Chetan. If you look at the segment results, we have given the plantations as a separate segment.
The cost analysis, right? Like cost we are incurring versus gain we are getting out of plantation business.
Yeah, both you know the revenue and the result and the segment results are given separately for plantations.
Yeah.
So for the quarter, if you look at it, you know the segment revenue for plantations is in the region of 78 crores, and the plant and the results are around 8 crores, 7.6 crores.
Yeah, but if someone is a converter and he's is having a lot of business, like more than us even. So we don't have any plan to have more conversion capacity.
Yeah, that is what Sanjeev had explained, that, you know, we have right now the instant coffee. See, we, our business is like this. The plantation business consists of coffee, pepper, and tea. And the instant coffee side of the business is where we have these the soluble coffee, where the capacities are maxed out, and we are, you know, trying to do, you know, enhancements through innovative bottlenecking of the existing capacities.
Yeah, but why not to create more capacities instead of just...
That's the right question to be asked.
That's the
right question to be asked. Sure. So let's evaluate.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one at this time. We take the next question from the line of Avinash Nahata from Aditya Birla Money. Please go ahead.
Thanks again. Just a quick question as to give us an indication that basis the last deal what you have come to know, which has happened in the coffee plantation area. So what has been the deal in the region?
Deal like deal meaning?
I mean a coffee plantation being sold.
We have not see the problem is that the land prices in India are very high, no? So we don't having much of information on any, you know, substantial deals happening. Except if it is between two private planters, we may not come to know.
Yeah, I was asking about the private planters only.
Yeah, that we may not come to know, Avinash, because we should understand that the organized players, we are perhaps the largest. So if we look at it, the next level, there are with a very fragmented kind of, you know, the plantation set, which is all lot of small holdings. So we may not, you know, and many of them are, you know, family properties which people retain. So I'm sorry that we are not able to give you any specific info on that.
And what are the yields for our plantations?
So it's the region of around 650 kgs for Arabica and 1400 for Robusta.
670 and 1040.
650 and 1400.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Dhruvi Vyas from PS Square Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers.
Thank you.
Okay, so my question goes like, we already said that the capacity of what you guys have been producing is like 95% almost. And you have constantly said that we would want to improve our reach to the customer base. So how do you plan to improve like reach more to the customer's demand? And that too, you very well said that you're not improving in putting on any additional capacity. So how does that equation work?
Interesting question. The math according to what you're saying does not work. That's the point you're making.
Yeah, sir. That's just a tiny doubt I have. So if you could help me out with the numbers.
Yeah, so a similar question was posed to us last time. See, the first phase, what we're getting into really is establishing a customer base, establishing customer relationships, upgrading our quality, getting our entry right, and moving up the value chain with that. Okay, that's a clear focus right now. We are also extracting more and more, like Venkat said, from our existing capacity. Okay, by these minor debottlenecking that we have done, okay, mm-hmm. and sweating what we have in the spray-dried agglomerated areas to get our profit or mix right.
Mm-hmm.
After that, in the future, is something which we will evaluate, certainly.
Okay. And do you see a bright domestic market performance
like,
for your product?
Like Venkat mentioned, we are not a domestic player. Coffees are actually largely internationally done, except what we are supplying to Tata Coffee Grand domestically. We have a tea business in India. So so that's where the Indian market is. And like we always said in the past, that the Indian market is very nascent right now in coffee, but I'm sure it will grow in the future.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much. That's it from my side.
Welcome.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Jayant Vimania from Care PMS. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. How are companies placed as compared to Brazil and Vietnam in terms of labor cost per ton plantation crop and in terms of per hectare productivity?
So, your question is, Brazilian companies certainly productivities are higher, okay? But that's a mix of multiple things there. Crop patterns are different. They are not shade-grown. We are shade-grown. They are mechanized. So they are very starkly different ways of production and environmental climates which impact what is happening. But the bottom line is the productivity is higher in Brazil than over here.
Okay, okay. What about the labor cost?
Labor cost, again, what tends to happen is because the productivity is so high over there, it would be on a per ton basis a little lower than Indian.
Okay, okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Jignesh Kamani from GMO. Please go ahead.
Sir, I just want to know on the regulation change happening in the US. I think FSMA guidelines is enforcing more stricter, you can say, on the quality standard on the instant coffee, both on the from branding side and the making them more aware about the blending. Earlier they used to, you can say, mix adulterated coffee from Brazil and Mexico. So can you throw some light on that, how you can say the regulation is evolving and how big opportunity it can be for us as an industry in future?
Just repeat the question, please.
So if you take about views in the US, there's no much clear-cut guidance on the instant coffee branding and the packaging. And many of the, you can say, the player use the, you can say, adulterated coffee, which adulterate from the Brazil, Mexico, maybe a corn, coffee containing corn or a rice cask, everything. Now, I think U.S. government is trying to, you can say, make it much more, you can say, stringent in terms of adulteration.
Frankly, I am not aware about this issue you're mentioning about adulterated coffees being imported and stuff like that. You have to understand 8 o'clock is essentially a green.
No, I'm morely talking from the instant coffee perspective.
Yeah, so we don't have an instant coffee operation in the U.S., so we're not really aware of this kind of an issue which you are mentioning.
Okay.
It's a very, very small component of the total coffee business in the U.S. And we are driven more by the roasting ground kind of an business. So honestly, I don't have a response to what you have back to Jignesh, if this is an issue at all there.
Okay. But as of now, you are not seeing any, you can say, development on the, or have you witnessing some of the, so are we selling anything in the U.S. market on the instant coffee?
Instant coffee, no.
No. So only mainly to Russian operation?
All across the world, yes. We don't have an instant coffee business in the U.S.
Okay. And have we started receiving any inquiry from the U.S. client considering the, you can say, development in the regulation?
I haven't heard of this issue which you're talking about, Ignesh.
Okay, no issue. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Aman Vish from Astute Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Sir, just one follow-up question. So, looking at your value-added numbers for the half year, it shows 634 crore of sales. So, in terms of volume, what was the number?
Yeah, see, volume is around 8, you know, annually it's around 8,000, so we should be in the range of 50% of the volumes.
Okay, so assuming 4,000 tons, sir, the realization per kg for your company is very high.
Right, and the question therefore is?
So actually, you can't. I'm not very sure, Amjit, because see, we have a mix in the port. The portfolio is a mix. No, we have a soluble, we have a spray, aglo, freeze. So I'm not very sure that the comparison in that manner may give results.
No, I understand that point, but considering we are mostly a B2B player with the, we are now starting to enter B2B.
One other additional, sorry to interrupt. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking at the consolidated segment, the value-added products will also include the 8 o'clock branded business. So it may not be a right comparison.
Okay, so roughly how much of this will be, say, 8 o'clock branded business?
8 o'clock, we have said mostly, see, if you look at our $60 million is 8 o'clock turnover, roughly, in that range.
Okay, so around 500 crore will be, 350-400 crore will be 8 o'clock.
400 crores will be 8
o'clock,
yeah.
Okay, thanks for the clarification.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Sameer Madan from Theater. Please go ahead.
My question is, when we look at the stock business of instant coffee, what kind of variations, and can you please try to, give some kind of sample figures so we can understand this better, but what kind of range of pricing do we see across the board? For example, the micro lots, and then some of the other value adds, which are not as pricey as the micro lots. What is the kind of range in the value added business which is possible as we move up the value chain?
So let me try and give you some. First of all, let me tell you that micro lots, what micro lots are doing, because of the definition of a micro lot, it just indicates it's a very small component. Size is not large. It is more defined by quality and the uniqueness of the particular lot which is being produced. It is not a significant or a serious value driver for the organization. What it is certainly doing is reflecting seriously in what our capability is and an image enhancer that we have the capability to produce the best and compare ourselves to the world's best. So that really is the micro lot. Now, micro lots can actually go from, you know, the prices go right from a base, to go from index to 1:1 to 1:40, depending on what the buyers are looking for and where they're picking from. So it's a huge variation. Very difficult to say one particular micro lot what the pricing is going to look like.
Understood. And but my question was more related to micro lots as more an outlier. But what is the kind of targeted, multiplier that we look for with bulk of the, specialty coffee that we are targeting? You have mentioned that specialty coffee is one of the triggers for our growth over the year.
So if you look at certified coffee, there is a margin of about, I think, 4 or 5 rupees. Yeah. So RS, the certified coffees are at about 4 to 5 rupees higher than ICE standards. And then depending on customer to customer, what kind of value of product we are developing, what they are looking for, the prices can range upward from there. It's very difficult to answer the question, what is the multiplier we do, because differentials vary country by country, differentials vary depending on what you're producing and when. So it's very difficult to give a standard answer to your question.
Understood. But I think you have answered that reasonably. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and 1 on your touchtone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Rohit Lala, from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Sir, I'm looking at the H1 numbers for FY17, and this is primarily related to 8 o'clock coffee. So, if correct me if I'm wrong, but 8 o'clock has reported 32% EBITDA margin for the half year FY17. Although a lot of it might be due to lower commodity costs, going forward, are the prices elastic, as in can they be passed on to the end consumer in case of higher commodity costs?
See, you have to understand that it's all linked to the power of a brand. Okay? And probably brands, the reason you create brands is to create customer loyalty. Okay? And try to become relatively inelastic to price variations. So to that extent, any branded player would be looking at what you're saying.
Okay. Okay. And sir, since we are doing a lot of business in Europe and Africa, are there any plans to expand the reach of 8 o'clock globally, like in some other geography of the world?
At the moment, US is where they are. And the target really build over there and build a stronger base in the US. What turns up in the future is too premature to talk about.
Okay. Okay. And sir, you you keep mentioning that we are primarily a B2B player, but the numbers say that 50% of our turnover is from 8 o'clock and 65% of the EBITDA margins are from 8 o'clock itself. So why is this, like, the B2B side of it is giving more focus when the numbers are tilting more towards the consumer business?
So fine. That's a relevant question. So let me, when I say B2B, let's define there are two companies, the Tata Coffee Limited, and there's an 8 o'clock business. So when I talk about B2B, it is the Tata Coffee Limited, which is, I'm talking about as a standalone business, and 8 o'clock is our consumer-facing business. So when I address that we are the B2B player, it is Tata Coffee India, which is the B2B player.
Okay. Okay, sir. Okay. Sir, one last question, sir. So our paper capacity is at 1,300 metric ton. Considering the average prices of today, that translates to around 80 crores of turnover in case of full capacity also. So what margins can we expect on such a turnover in case we operate at full capacity?
See, again, you have to realize that it's very difficult to project markets and margins because like coffee, they depend on the terminals that are operated. Though there are no terminals which run in the coffee market, there are markets which are defined by market supply and demand, and they keep fluctuating.
Also, you have to understand the service side. You see, pepper is also a off-season, on-season. You know, so when you say capacity, it may not be the right term to say, because see, on-year, it will be 1,100, 1,200 could be there, but off-year, it also will come down. Because if that's a, you know, kind of, you know, soil and topography and the agroclimatic, reasons.
Yeah. And that's a relevant point which I think everybody should know, that we are agri-based products. All agri-based products have this on-year, off-year cyclicality.
Having said that, pepper is a high-margin business.
So any numbers you can share in case, say, even if it's an on-year and we produce 1,300 metric tons of pepper and...
We don't want to share specific numbers, but it's a high-margin business.
Okay.
So, like, volumes are almost 700.
Yeah,
1,100. That's the
off-year. Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. That was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Thanks very much. I think the questions were very insightful, very useful, and I'm exceedingly happy that the interest levels in Tata Coffee are growing, and the kind of questions that have been coming up also reflect the interest the analysts are showing in our business, and that's a welcome sign. Let's continue this dialogue every time we connect, and thanks ever so much for this engagement.
Thanks to ICICI Securities for hosting the call as well.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.